As we near the end of the study in the last days, we're looking today at several things. A little bit at the Great White Throne Judgment, the earth's renovation by fire. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Tells us in verse 3, knowing first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking in after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That kind of hints that there would be a long time after Christ rose from the tomb till the very end. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said that. Skip on down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and with elements, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? As I said at the outset, is we don't want to be upon this earth during the tribulation. As C.H. Spurgeon said, sue God. Take his cup of salvation. We're to be godly, looking for that and hasting into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everybody's heard of this. Everybody's heard of Armageddon. Everybody's heard of the earth being burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is God's plan all along. He's going to have it. We looked last week in Numbers. The earth shall be filled with his glory. He's going to have that. He's very serious about his glory. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also in other scriptures, to their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. In the book of Revelation, in the 6th chapter, in the 14th verse, now, you remember, I said that Revelation 6 is an overview. God tells you what he's going to do, like he did in creating man. He said, let us make man after our own likeness, in our own image, and he does it. In the 14th verse of the 6th chapter, which is an overview, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of his place. Now, that's going to take place at the end. You see, the tribulation can start at any minute. It's going to last 7 years. Then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. It's Revelation 20. Then there's going to be the Great White Throne Judgment. This, what we just read here, the scroll is rolled up, the story is over. That's the end. Like I say, everyone from ancient times even till now knows about the coming fire, the coming Armageddon. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 21 and 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Thought in passing, Christ is never mentioned to have gone back out on the seas after he rose from the tomb. The sea is considered evil. There's an old saying, the witches get their power from the devil in the deep blue sea. I don't know where they get that at, but I've heard that. As I said, this scroll is rolled up, the story is over. Does that mean that the earth is totally dissolved? Well, fire is indiscriminate. I mean, it's said that the lion turned not away from any in Proverbs 30 and 30. Is afraid of fire and lightning. It'll burn up, and scientists will tell us that matter, it does not cease to exist. After all, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I know, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Matter is not going to be annihilated. What about our bodies? The glorified body, Philippians 3:21, one place. They're going to be changed. Did not Paul say that in 1 Corinthians 15? So is some of the body going to be used? He's going to take it? I mean, what kind of body did he have? We're told that he shall fashion our bodies like unto his glorified body. Was his body different? It had changed, but it was still the same body. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Still the same body. It's got the nail holes in the hands and the feet, I'm sure. But our bodies will go through a change. That's in 1 Corinthians. I'll read a little bit of that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The earth's going to be changed. It's going to be renovated by fire. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead in Christ, as we know from Thessalonians, rise first. And I believe it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of God are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. What about those that we read about in Revelation 20 that rule and reign with the Lord? We may be among them. We plan on being among them. But they were beheaded. They're going to be there. What I'm saying is, their body may be different, but it still comes from the same body. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Genesis 7:11 tells about the flood, how it brought judgment upon that world. In chapter 7, verse 22, all that in whose nostrils had the breath of life perished. When they walked off that ark, and put it in today's term, you know the technology we have today. It's out there. It's amazing. But if we was put on an ark, didn't have anything with us other than the food to eat and the animals, and another global flood, when we walk off that ark, there's start over. We don't have the vehicles. It's going to be thousands of years before you're going to have them, because it takes that long to invent a lot of stuff. But anyway, getting back to the renovation by fire, is not the center of the earth molten? I mean, it could happen quickly, and it's going to happen quickly. Isaiah chapter 50. I mean, think about oxygen, highly flammable, atmosphere is full of it. Isaiah 51 and 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell in shall die in their like manner, and salvation be forever, and righteousness shall not be abolished. I believe it's over in Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. That's talking about Israel. They're going to be changed, but it's going to remain. Ain't going to just vanish. In the book of Jeremiah, there's much said in chapter 30, verse 11, midway, I will make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, but I will not make a full end of thee. Not going to happen. Chapter 31, verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Now you're going to say, well, back there in Revelation, there's no need of the sun or the moon, but Israel's still there. And they're not going to go away. That's verse 23 of chapter 21 of Revelation. The city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it. Didn't say they didn't exist anymore. Said they had no need of them. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. It's going to be, the earth's going to be renovated by fire. Everything points to that. In the book of Amos, the seventh chapter, the minor prophets. Amos 7, if I can find it. I've not lost my track, I've lost my train of thought. Amos 7 and 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed men, behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoureth the great deep, and did eat up a part. In the days of Elijah, when he combated the false prophets of Baal, fire ate up the stones of the altar. But as I said, it gets back to what was left. Smoke went away. There was still matter there. Matter is never annihilated. The heavens are not clean, and they need to be cleansed. There's going to be a serious fire sent by Almighty God. Jeremiah, again, chapter 7, verse 7. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. That ain't going away. How long is forever and ever? And the Lord says, when it says it twice, that's ages and ages. Jeremiah 25 and 5. They said, turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord God hath given you and your fathers forever and ever. Isaiah 51 and 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell in therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. It's going to be changed. Man, does man cease to exist? When Luke chapter 16, the account of Lazarus and the rich man. Both Lazarus and rich man were alive and well. One was in torment and one was comforted. Man's vanity will end. The things that man comes up with, his inventions, are going to be destroyed. A lot of things are going to be changed. Psalms chapter 11, verse 5. Psalms 11 and 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. That wasn't what I wanted. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone in a horrible tempest. Brimstone don't cease to exist. This shall be the portion of their cup. That's the rebel's lot. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Man comes up with many inventions. Even Stephen Hawking, who's an atheist, he passed away here sometime back, physicist, I guess. But he even said, the universe and laws of physics seems to have been specifically designed for us, you reckon? If any one of the 40, of about 40 physical qualities had been more than slightly different values, in other words, the reproductive system, if it wasn't exactly the way it was, the plants growing wasn't exactly the way they were, life as we know it could not exist. Then how did those things get there? Isaiah 13 and 5, since we're over there still. I think we read this here some time back. They come from Isaiah 13 and 5. They come from a far country to the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail, and they shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. He's going to make good on that promise. Sin, what it's brought on the earth, will have to be cleansed. Job, in Job 15:15, the heavens are unclean in God's sight. He will have them cleansed. It's going to take fire to do that. The harlot in Revelation 17 is destroyed by fire. Fire, God is a consuming fire. He will have his realm to be clean. All are included. Ezekiel chapters 37. Ezekiel 37 and 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. To cleanse all the filth that we, us as humans, have put upon this earth, it's going to take a fire of great magnitude. That's what he's going to do. That's what his word declares. Chapter 39, verse 6, same book of Ezekiel. And I will send fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And I ain't sure this carelessly in the isles is not directed to the United States of America, but it's another topic. Hosea chapter 8, verse 14. Hosea 8 and 14. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and builded temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. As I said, that's what happens to the harlot that we read of in Revelation 17. Job said in Job 15:34, the tabernacles of bribery shall be burned with fire. It only sounds reasonable if the blood of Christ does not cleanse one, that the fire of judgment will. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If he walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and his, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes. If one don't have that, they will have the fire of God's wrath. There is hope, as we read there in 2 Peter. What manner of persons should we be? There is time remaining. Revelation talks about the great white throne, and it only makes common sense that everybody will be there. Hitler, Stalin, Genghis Khan, your favorite or least favorite musician and athlete, we. Verse 12 of Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Of course they were dead. Goes on to say, and the sea, you see, gave up the dead that were in it. Of course they were dead. It's talking about spiritually dead. They were dead to begin with, physically. they're dead spiritually. And notice they were judged according to their works. The only works that I want to be judged of is Christ's finished works at Calvary, as it's called. Where my sin was judged. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Very serious. Like I say, passing away does not mean cease to exist. If they cease to exist, so would the lost in torment. But they're going to be tormented night and day forever and ever. Israel will continue on. At the great white throne, as I said, all will be there and nothing will be missed. All will be accounted for. Now, we did not cover the millennial reign of Christ. That's not the last days. We've been studying the last days. When Christ ascended upon high, they asked him if he was going to restore the king. Is it to restore the kingdom to Israel? He didn't say anything that he wouldn't do such thing. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his power. In Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. He's pleading our case now, but at the times of restitution, he's coming back. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. What will be refreshed? Well, Israel hath paid double for her sins. We read in Isaiah 40. Double for when they crucified Christ, saying, his blood be on us and our children. They paid double for that. 2,000 years. Millennial reigns 1,000. 2 days and a third day. Have you heard me say that many times? Romans 11 still is the same idea. How they've been grafted, plucked out of the natural olive tree, and had the wild olive branches grafted in. That's us, Gentiles. Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. He's not done with them. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. It's done a good job. You ever think that they have to wonder, how come they get a lot less grief than we get? Everything that the Jews have done, they've been tortured. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Verse 15, for the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. God granted repentance to the Gentiles. What will the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Man's dying body must be restored. man's going to live forever, and these bodies ain't going to last that long. But when the Lord changes them, they'll last that long. We have hope only in Christ. Man's lordship. He was created to exercise dominion over the creation and will in the person of God, man, Jesus Christ. Everything that's to be regained is to be regained as a man by him. Man lacks wisdom that only God can give, and man needs that wisdom. Well, Christ is going to have that wisdom. He's going to rule and reign. We looked at last week in Psalms 2 with a rod of iron. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now, Adam was created with that ability. He didn't have to be taught. Well, it sounds to me like when we get the glorified body, it's not only physical, it's mental. Man needs, as I said, the wisdom and understanding that only God can grant. Another thing, look at the color map of the world. These maps, I don't think they... Well, you see, they're just painted various colors to tell what area is what. But maps, look at a desert area, it's brown. Look at a forest area, it's green. Everything's going in the wrong direction. The brown is getting bigger and the green is getting smaller. That's got to be changed. There's a lot of disappearing topsoil that's in the Gulf of Mexico. It's washed down the Mississippi. It needs to be put back. Christ will have no problem in doing all that. Natural man's first thought is all things which are limited, it's that all things are foretold by the prophets. The restitution of all things is what I'm getting at. The plowman, we're told in the book of Amos, will overtake the reaper during the millennial reign of Christ. They will still be planting, they'll still be harvesting when it's time to start planting again. All things must be fixed. As it says in Revelation 21, I make all things new. There's so many things we see them at a distance. They're going to be more glorious than we can imagine. Israel will be restored to their glory. And think about the millennial temple. It's going to be a huge area, but area about 60 square miles. Think about in the days of Solomon how glorious it was. It's not even close to how it's going to be when Christ returns. Things that we can only imagine. I'll go back over there and read it. In the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, it's what we looked at last week. It's an amazing statement if you think about it. The children of Israel witnessed God's power and the plagues that he sent upon the Egyptians, how he parted the water. Verse 21 of Numbers 14, But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. It ain't there yet. It ain't there. It ain't even close now. Can you imagine what that's going to be? Going to dwell righteousness. Well, the new heavens and the new earth are going to be more righteous than that. Because you see, during the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be sin. I mean, the sinner will die at 100 years of age. Things are just too amazing for us to understand, I guess. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them that day shall be as David. He wasn't feeble. And as the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. That's what man's going to be when Christ comes back and sets up his millennial temple. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of angels. We looked, I believe, last week, 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to judge the world. That's an amazing fact. The Lord's going to have a use for us. All these things, consider, we're told in Acts to repent. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. And note the order of that, or consider the order of that. Repent and believe. Christ taught that in the book of Mark. Repent and believe. One must repent first before they can believe. That's, I think, the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I've covered that before. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. As I said, there's an order there. Repentance comes first. For over in Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Midway through the paragraph, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. He's talking to the Pharisees and scribes. Verse 32, For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and when ye had seen it, repented not, that afterward you might believe him. That's an order. One must repent and believe. Well, with all these things coming, more reason for one to want to repent and believe. That's all I have for this morning.